This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. It has been an eventful week in Michigan on the issue of gay marriage. On Friday, a federal judge ruled that the state's ban on gay marriage is unconstitutional. On Saturday, clerks in four Michigan counties issued marriage licenses at least until a stay was issued by the 6th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, putting those same-sex couples into what's been called legal limbo. Now the courts will decide the fate of the amendment to the state constitution approved by Michigan voters in 2004. Zach Gorchow is the editor of the Gongwer News Service, and he joins us. Thank you for being here.
Hi, Gordon. Thanks for having me.
So where do things stand as we speak on Tuesday afternoon?
Well, we are waiting to see if the 6th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals will grant Michigan Attorney General Bill Schuette's request for an emergency stay of the ruling that came down last Friday legalizing same-sex marriage in Michigan. Right now, there is a temporary stay on that ruling in place. The question is, will the 6th Circuit basically permanently hold off the effectiveness of that ruling until it determines whether Judge Friedman was right or wrong in his ruling? I think the expectation is there's probably going to be a stay until the appeal is resolved, but there was a situation out in the western part of the United States where the appellate court decided not to issue a stay, and it ultimately required the U.S. Supreme Court to stay the ruling.
Given what has happened in other states, has this been fairly typical, what's happened in Michigan? A federal judge rules, an appeals court comes in and issues a stay?
Well, the surprise was that Judge Friedman, the district court judge, did not stay his own ruling. It wasn't unprecedented. There was a case in Utah where the lower court judge did the same thing. And that's what created this window, basically from about 5:05 p.m. Friday until early Saturday evening, where clerks could go ahead and process marriage licenses from same-sex couples up until the 6th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Cincinnati late Saturday, putting in place that temporary stay I mentioned earlier. So that was a little bit unusual, but in general, all of these lower court rulings, and there are many, holding that bans on same-sex marriage are illegal, have been stayed pending appeal eventually.
And eventually, do we expect that this is going to work its way up to the U.S. Supreme Court?
Boy, it's hard to see how it wouldn't. You've got so many cases all around the country that you have to think at some point there could very well be a situation where you'll have a circuit court, which encompasses a certain number of states. Our Sixth Circuit includes Michigan, Ohio, Kentucky, and Tennessee, I believe, could rule one way, and then another circuit court of appeals could rule a different way. And when you have the appellate courts in conflict, that is going to get the U.S. Supreme Court involved. There's no question about it. And even if that conflict doesn't occur, it's the kind of thing that involves such a basic issue of the U.S. Constitution, the 14th Amendment, the Equal Protection Clause, that ultimately the U.S. Supreme Court is probably going to have to wade in, although I think sooner than they would like. I mean, you have to remember last year, California's ban on same-sex marriage was before the U.S. Supreme Court, and the U.S. Supreme Court kind of punted on it. It basically let stand an appellate court ruling holding that the state's ban on same-sex marriage was unconstitutional, but it didn't address the merits of the issue. If I remember right, it had to do with something, a very technical legal issue called standing. It held that the people trying to appeal the case did not have standing to make the appeal. So the lower court ruling stood.
So you mentioned this window that was created Friday late afternoon by Judge Friedman issuing his ruling and not issuing a stay, which other judges have often done. That allowed the issuing of 300 or so marriage licenses to same-sex couples on Saturday, and many of them did go ahead and have marriages performed. So, as I said earlier, these people are viewed as being in legal limbo right now. What can we say for sure about the status of their marriages?
Well, I think it's pretty certain at this point that the state is not going to recognize their marriages. Meaning, if a gay couple out there were to try to go to an adoption agency today, having gotten married over the weekend, that they would not be able to do that. Michigan's adoption code prohibits same-sex couples from jointly adopting a child. You know, the tax question wouldn't come up until next year, but let's say the courts haven't resolved this by early next year. Those couples that got married, they may want to file their state taxes jointly, and the state is probably not going to honor that. You know, the governor, the attorney general, they're sort of vacillating on this question of what the state is going to do. They say they want to see what the federal courts do. But it seems unlikely that that given the current, that today's legal situation, that they would be able to take advantage of the rights that a married couple would ordinarily have. Now, the big unanswered question is the federal government. You know, in Utah, the federal government has said that it will recognize those marriages for tax purposes. So, Utah couples who married during that window could file joint taxes and seek a variety of other benefits. And the U.S. Attorney General has said that that the federal government will honor that. We had asked the Justice Department yesterday what their thought was on the Michigan situation. All they would say at this point is they're watching it very closely. So should this the case remain in limbo into next year, there will be a question about whether when Michigan, these 300 couples file their taxes, federal taxes, maybe they could file jointly, depending on what the federal government says.
Let's talk a little bit about the politics surrounding this. Governor Rick Snyder was in New York yesterday. Some reporters pressed him for his opinion on the legality of same-sex marriage, and he said in a couple different ways that he didn't think it was his place to weigh in. Can a governor in an election year expect this to just fade away without him stating one way or another whether he thinks same-sex couples should be allowed to legally marry?
I mean, he could try. I mean, it's going to be a question that's going to be asked and asked again and asked again. The thing that was slightly curious about what the governor said yesterday, where he said he acknowledged having a personal opinion on whether gays should be able to marry, but he would not. He said he does not, as a course of, you know, protocol, share it because it would be a distraction. When he was running for governor in 2010 in the gubernatorial debate in the fall against the Democratic nominee, he did say very clearly he believes marriage is only to be between one man and one woman, although he thought other couples should have the right to set contracts, which obviously is different than getting married. So why he backed off of that statement yesterday, I'm not sure. I mean, obviously he is the governor now, and he wasn't then, and he's a party to this case, and he wasn't then. You know, there have certainly been any number of elected officials, many Democrats included, who have changed their position on the issue. I haven't seen anything to suggest that the governor has done that. But it was a little bit curious yesterday that he would evade that question and not reiterate what he has said in the past.
Attorney General Bill Schuette actually formally launched his reelection campaign this week, just as this story was really beginning to pick up. At the same time, Mark Totten of Kalamazoo, who is hoping to be his Democratic opponent in the fall, has been firing off news releases, very critical of how Schuette has handled this case. The Attorney General's race is one that may often fly under the radar, but could this particular court case make people pay a little more attention to the Attorney General's race this time around?
Well, I think it certainly puts the Attorney General, Bill Schuette, right, you know, smack dab in the public eye. I believe he wrote a newspaper column today in one of the Detroit newspapers, and that's getting a lot of attention. And he's getting a lot of media coverage over this. I just came back from his re-election announcement event in Lansing. It was 12 minutes of questions all about this very topic. I think for Mark Totten, who is, you know, a totally new candidate on the statewide level and unknown to most people statewide, it's a good opportunity for him to latch on to a big-time issue and get his name out among Democrats. It's still unclear whether he'll actually be the Democratic nominee against Schuette in the fall. He's the only announced candidate at this point, but these Attorney General and Secretary of State nominations have a way of rapidly changing direction as the conventions get closer. So it's a good chance for Totten to get out there and really, you know, cultivate support among Democrats and say, hey, look, I'm fighting on this issue. I'm taking Schuette on this issue. Is it going to single-handedly catapult him to victory over Bill Schuette? No, it definitely will not. But it's it's an important moment for Tottenham. I mean, he needs opportunities like this. And with Shudi being in the eye this much, you know, it gives him a chance to get some coverage as well.
I'm wondering if those two things we just talked about, Governor Rick Snyder not wanting to talk about the issue and the Democratic hopeful, perhaps nominee for Attorney General or someone who aspires to be the Democratic nominee for Attorney General, Mark Totten, wanting to talk about same-sex marriage. If that's just an indication of how much this issue has changed over the last 10 years since voters did approve that amendment to the state constitution in 2004.
The Republicans are walking a very delicate line here, and that the base of their party still believes marriage should be between one man and one woman and supports the voter passed constitutional amendment from 2004. Yet at the same point, there's been polling to show that younger Republicans favor the ability for same-sex couples to marry. So they don't want to necessarily turn off the younger people in their party who are the future of the party. And then obviously you have the broader electorate overall. There's a lot of voters out there who favor this who didn't 10 years ago. They're polling. It's kind of all over the map on this. But there's a lot of evidence to suggest that there's a very good chance if this issue came back before voters that they would legalize same-sex marriage in Michigan. You know, you never know how a campaign's going to turn out. You have advertising. You have the campaign itself. But whereas in 2004, I think everyone thought, this is going to, you know, this ban on same-sex marriage is going to pass. It's not going to be closed, and that's what played out. Today, if it came up for a vote, I think people would think it would go the other way. So I think that's the concern. And then I think you look at Oakland County, which is, you know, a bastion of kind of fiscal conservative social moderates. You know, for Republicans to win statewide, they have to win Oakland County, and they need to win it by a good number. And, you know, if you get on the wrong side of this issue in Oakland County, that could court trouble. That's a risky place to be. So I see that being a factor as well.
And I had to note this from the Gongwer story on Friday, that there was one Republican strategist who spoke out in favor of the ruling, noted that Judge Friedman was appointed by Ronald Reagan, and that's Greg McNeely. But that was about the only voice out there. And Greg McNeely then was one of those people who went ahead and took advantage of that window on Saturday to marry his partner. But Greg McNeely is pretty well known in Republican circles. Does he perhaps represent that sort of two sides of the coin in terms of the Republican thoughts on this issue?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Greg, you know, has been, you know, he's been definitely a voice that has, you know, in the past tried to distance some of the sharper voices in the party against gay marriage to, you know, put out a different view of what Republicans think on this issue. Saturday, when he married his longtime partner, that was really the first time that he was going to go out there publicly and, you know, basically say, yeah, I'm a gay man and I'm going to marry my partner. And, you know, you saw a lot of, you know, people who are younger Republicans and many Democrats and others voicing support for him. But I think the younger Republicans piece is notable because it does show that there is a movement in the party that, you know, thinks the party position on this is wrong, that, you know, the Republican Party should stand for freedom and has stood for freedom. And why would it contradict that approach here? Other Republicans would say it has been a longstanding part of the Republican Party platform that marriage is between one man and one woman, and that should not change.
Zach, thank you for your time.
Well, thanks a lot for having me, Gordon.
Zach Gorchow is the editor of the Gongwer News Service.